state up front, I have no financial relationships to report, other than my employer, and I'm not recruiting you to be members of our health plan. It's a too far of a commute. The outline I'm going to follow is as follows. This is a follow-on to some research I did for APHA last year. We had a survey in 2011 that got data, and this is a follow-on of the same project with a little more updated data. LA Care was the home for High-Tech LA, which is part of the High-Tech Act, for local doctors in LA County. So we had data on doctors that had joined High-Tech and had installed EHRs. What I did is bump that up against member data for patient-centered work. A little bit on the health plan. We're a diverse health plan in Los Angeles County. We serve a large population, a lot of people with different languages and different needs. Mostly Medicaid. We started as a health plan for moms and kids and gradually began adding older patients as we got into the Medicare dual eligible market. So it's kind of an evolving population. So I'm comparing in this study adult population experience versus the parents and children experience with EHRs, or doctors who have EHRs. So the learning objectives I'll cover at the end, but these are the objectives that I should have met by the time I'm done with the paper. So the role of High-Tech, which you're presumably familiar with. So information is the lifeblood of modern medicine. So how do we use information in the clinic to help patients? And do we use it in a way that they notice the benefits from? So most of High-Tech, or most of the AHR movement, has been toward getting information on clinical background of patients, procedures, and so forth, operations, things that patients wouldn't necessarily notice up front with the doctor. So this study is about what does the patient notice in clinic. The role of the electronic records, obviously from the background of HIT, is to give an information flow to help connect patients better to care and help deliver the right care at the right time in the right place with the right information for the doctor. And some of this I'm going to pass on by rather rapidly because I suspect that this audience is familiar with High-Tech in this section. LA County. We signed up doctors, whether they're with our health plan or not, as part of the High-Tech Act. The methodology I'm using, I exploited that we had data on doctors that had installed EHRs, and I had data on patients seeing some of those doctors. We had done a P4P study, pay for performance, that included a member satisfaction survey, the rationale being that members may not be the best experts on whether the doctor is giving quality care or not, but they are experts on whether they got good service or not. And that's the rationale for the surveys. The survey is part of the CAPS family of surveys, Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems. It is a survey that most health plans in the country run, either as part of accreditation or as part of a state requirement to show that they're giving good service in the point of view of the members. And service includes such things as the call center that they call into. It includes service in the clinic from the doctor and from the staff. So the design here, without reading all the words on the slide, is since I have data on members where I'm asking about quality of services from the doctor in the clinic, and separately I have High-Tech data on which doctors were installing EHRs, which ones had EHRs before they joined the High-Tech program, which ones had a purchased one, and then had a go-live date, and then actually started attained meaningful use. So I have several levels of the treatment, and then bump that up against the member data. The only way, or at least the logic that I'm asserting to you, and let's see if I may meet my burden of proof in your eyes, if the member reports higher quality of service from doctors who had EHRs than from doctors who didn't have EHRs at the time of the survey, or didn't have them up and running at the time of the survey, then the only possible way the member could have noticed any difference is because something's different about the visit, that the doctor's actually starting to use it, maybe prints out after visit summary, something that an EHR system is supposed to be able to produce. So if I see an effect, about the only way it could be there is if this is working. Now, I have a colleague at work who added a little bit of sanity to the project, said, now, wait a minute, high tech doesn't require all that much. Even meaningful use, the first round of it, wasn't that big of a deal. It didn't require all that much. So this shouldn't even be working. I shouldn't be able to see an effect. So I'm saying, well, why am I seeing an effect then? So the thing I'm measuring mostly is the patient satisfaction with the doctor, communication. I tried also looking at coordination of care, which would imply a data connection, and that one didn't do so well. Later slides will show that. So it's plausible that high tech, it's going to have a long learning curve, but that I'm seeing something effect on provider communication is interesting, because it's possible that there is now starting to be a computer in the room in the exam, and that the doctor's paying attention to it. So does the patient like that or not? So it doesn't surprise me to start seeing early effects, but it did surprise the practitioners who are trying to launch EHR, encourage doctors to sign up for the program and get those launched. So that's a little bit interesting that I'm seeing an effect at all. The effect will be small, as with many things starting out, but that's basically the design that I'm using, is that because both sides of the study are blind, the doctors really don't know that their sign-up is going to be used to look at member data. And the members answering this survey weren't given any information whatsoever that this would be used to evaluate high tech. So there's not much chance of contamination. It's by an independent survey firm. So if there's an effect, it's through the mechanism of high tech being present in the clinic or present in the exam room. Okay, so my independent variable is the degree of engagement in EHR activities. The dependent variables are the member assessments about the quality of services by the providers. And a little detail on the survey conducted the first time in 2011, which was just at the beginning of the high-tech program. People were signing up. Some had launched, some had gone live, and some had attained a little bit of meaningful use. It's a fairly large survey. It's designed to be a survey of about 40 entities, medical groups that we contract with. So it's a clinician and group survey, so we sampled each at a fairly good sized sample and then combined the set. It ended up being about 49,000 people we sent surveys to, and about 16,000 completed the survey. Ours is a low responding population, so it's only about 30% response rate. But it's done in English and Spanish according to language preference, and if somebody doesn't speak Spanish, they're going to get English by default. That's a limitation of the survey. It's only available in those two languages for most of the country, only validated at least. So the limitation, the caveat, is this is representative, one, of members who had visits, not of membership in general. It's also representative of, it's designed to represent provider groups. So large groups are sampled at the same size as the small groups. So that would, you would think that would produce a pretty substantial bias, because some of our groups are huge. They're bigger than whole health plans. Like our largest had about 80,000 people in one medical group. So we tried weighting the data, which adds a lot of complication to the analysis that I'm going to present, unweighted. But in the weighted analysis, we didn't see that much difference in the scores. So the rationale there is patients seem to respond about the same to a certain level of service. They don't respond according to what ethnic group they're in, what gender they're in. They respond to the service. So patients don't respond in a cookie cutter fashion. And across provider groups, the weighting didn't do that much. But what I'm going to present are unweighted data, and therefore I need to state the caveat. Limitations. I gave a little bit of the limitations just now. One part of the limitation is for the first study, many providers attained meaningful use in 2012 and 2013, long after the member experience survey. So the first study that I presented last year had a limitation in it, and very low maturation and rollout of the HRs. I ought to deal with the very bottom paragraph. The rival hypothesis is that doctors who adopt EHRs are just better communicators to begin with. They're good at doctoring, and they're just better communicators. And I don't have a really good way to unconfound that part of it. The only argument I'd offer there is that knowing that doctors who use EHRs effectively seem to be associated with higher ratings is at least a clue that if people adopt EHRs, it's worth the try. And then over time, as the project matures, we'll be able to sort out whether those who were encouraged to join adopt EHRs, if systematically over a long period of time, they just tend to deliver better service reported by the members, then we would tend to infer a causal connection. But right now, it does have that confounding. So I'll acknowledge that up front. Other limitations, the population is solely from Medicaid, not commercial. Population shift, right during this period of time, we were getting a large number of seniors were pushed into our health plan who are dual eligibles. You must know the California market or be in one of the experimental states. But this transition occurred and put a large number of adults into managed care who were in fee-for-service before. So they were a little annoyed at that. So the transition, the first year, our scores kind of tanked. So this probably cut a little bit of that, but the survey was fielded in 2011 and the transition was just starting in 2011. So it's quite likely that the services being rated, the members had to be continuously enrolled in the prior 12 months in this case. So they probably wouldn't have contained any of those transitionees the first year. But the year that I'll be reporting now is a 2014 survey, so the change would have already occurred. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, they would have transitioned and acclimated. Our CAHPS results from the health plan side, we had a one-year effect from that transition, but it had pretty much rebounded the next year. So my hope is that the 2014 results don't reflect much of that effect. So on to the results, these are just general medians. These are from the 2011 data. I need to state that the providers' data, as they were coming on board, they entered the data set. So we had a little bit of data as to how fast they attained compliance and so forth. So the doctor cohort on the EHR side, they're kind of a fixed cohort. So for the 2011 study, I'm using basically the same cohort of doctors, most of whom had already entered and had their data logged as to what level of attainment they had reached. And so these statistics would be true of both studies, the mean days. This gives a little bit of background, and this is covered in more detail in the paper last year. But the main finding here is that for the region, there was pretty quick median attainment, but for the LA Care Medicaid network, they tended to take a little longer. So that was kind of a side finding that our doctors, we were serving doctors in the county in general. There was no attempt to focus on just the doctors contracted with the health plan. We had to act as a neutral agent. The high-tech program was independent of most other health plan operations. But it turns out the Medicaid doctors, the health plan side encouraged them to join up while there was money available for them to get a leg up, because some of them are safety net clinics and don't have large resources. So here was a chance to get on board of a coming movement. But they tended to take a lot longer to adopt and to get things up and running. Not going to go into all of the detail here, but attaining, this is kind of the disposition of the doctor cohort. So 100% at the start, and then some never had a go-live date and never attained meaningful use, about 12%. Some proceeded to go-live date. Some never attained meaningful use after the go-live. And of those who attained meaningful use, 54%. I like the slide in that it tends to tell about uptake on introduction of technology to Medicaid doctors in a pretty intensive urban environment. So that this, independent of any other finding, it strikes me as handy resource for people that are introducing a rollout of technology. This is my sample a little bit. For CGCAPS 2014, which is this prior year study, this is the counts I got of the doctors in the doctor cohort. Those that had an existing EHR before sign-up or the survey were 33%. Those who had sign-up for high-tech before the start of the survey, 99%. So I'd better get into my results more rapidly. And we will come to the colored slides in a minute. Just a brief slide on where I'm getting the results using SAS, running analysis. What I'm using is cell deviations in chi-square to tell how much effect there was. In the 2011 study, I give in the first couple of columns, It's all red in the adults. For those who just barely had an EHR installed before joining high tech, the adult response was pretty much negative. So in this, in the next set of slides, red is negative, green is positive. Bold means statistically significant. I'm not doing Bonferroni on this, so it's not being penalized for multiple tests, so take that into account. For every 20 numbers up there, you would expect to see one significant finding, independent of just through random chance alone. But the fact that the adults are tended to be negative in the 2011, now by the time of the 2014, some of that's turning green, so it implies some maturation as the doctors got more used to the technology, became more mature with in their use of it, that the adults are not so negative. But why would the adults be negative? Well, the argument of critics was that when the patient is in the room with the doctor and the computer, and the doctor's fiddling with the computer, it'd get in the way of communication. And that this slide tends to bear that out, that there's some annoyance that the adults had with having that in the room. But as they got used to the fact, or as the doctors got used to using it to serve the member rather than kind of pay attention to the screen and not to the member, that it gets a little better over time. So this is arguing a maturation effect, which is nice to know, but still not a large effect. These p-values are terrible. You want 0.05 or lower, but it's headed in the right direction anyway, is the argument of this slide. But this is minimal effect because it's minimal adoption in this slide. Moving up to the next level of the treatment, which is, I think I'm missing the label on it. This is probably the child result. It's still adult. Treatment level one. I think I got the wrong label on that one. I'm saying this wrong. This one just had a little more detail on it. It's the same slide, same numbers. I'm giving effect sizes in the numbers underneath each level. So this is minimal adoption. So it's kind of negative, and by 2014, a little more positive. Moving up to the next level is where they went live. So it's a little bit more of using the EHR, at least some higher level of attainment. In the old survey, that the adults were still negative at this point, and significantly negative, because now the p-values that are in the red are below the 0.05 level. So the adults are still bothered by it as of 2011. But now it's starting to turn significant and green for the adults in the 2014 survey. So there's a maturation effect that says, keep the thing running, even if your first year was negative or hostile, keep the thing running, and it'll turn around, is the finding there. Now moving on to the next level, and this is the same slide but a little more detail on effect sizes. The phi in there is like 0.03. These are tiny, very tiny effect sizes. I'll deal with that in 1 second. For an embryonic project, the argument is effect size is context dependent, so that one wouldn't use Cohen's rule for something like this, that on something in the early stages, even small effect sizes are worth going after. So moving up a level, doctor attain meaningful use. Now each of these five things, doctor explain, doctor listen carefully, these are different facets of the provider communication composite on CAPS. And this is partly how health plans are rated and rewarded by NCQA for accreditation and by CMS for star rating. So this is these are important measures from the health plan standpoint. It's an argument for investing in the EHR that if we can move provider communication, we get a twofer. They get a HEDIS benefit for tracking records, and there's also a benefit if the members are noticing and liking it. So once the doctor had attained meaningful use, even in the 2011 data, a lot of it's positive, even a couple, one that's actually significant and some that are borderline. But by 2014, much more significant. So now this is the money slide. This is showing that once the thing's up and running and the doctor's used to using it and the member's now used to it being there, it's significantly associated with positive ratings by the member of provider communication, which is essential in patient-centered medical homes, which is, of course, the topic of the session. Now, this is the same slide, but giving effect sizes. Again, effect size is pretty small. So kind of a wrap-up or summary in the next 30 seconds. I made the argument before on effect size. Isn't normally what you expect to see. These effect sizes are small. That I just borrowed Rosenthal 1994 and added that the effect of aspirin reducing heart attacks was only effect size of 0.03. So small effect sizes matter in some contexts, and I argue this is one of them. So, recap of learning objectives. Proponents held that HIT, give doctors better information, make better decisions. That was the main purpose of HIT. I don't think they expected provider communication to be one of the benefits of it. So I'm finding, I think, an added benefit that wasn't expected. Trying to think of anything else significant that other than the provider communication is the main finding, and the maturation effect, I think, is noteworthy, that taking about 3 years to get up and running, that it's worth the wait. And so any health plan that would pull support from it should run at least that amount of time until it becomes more familiar to both sides. And appreciate your time.